morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning, witches. Hello. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. It is June 24th, 2021. It is Thursday. Today's episode is brought to you by 100 Love Spells. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Openness may not completely disarm prejudice, but it's a good place to start," by Jason Collins. In 2014, Jason Collins made history by becoming the first male professional athlete to publicly identify himself as gay. After his announcement, a flood of other queer athletes began declaring their sexuality, revealing to the world that some of our greatest sports figures are in fact LGBTQ. This was a milestone for the fight for equality because, as Collins says, being open about sexual orientation is an important step towards ending prejudice. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking cancer tea in honor of all of our cancer listeners. So what is cancer tea? Cancer tea is a white and green tea mix infused with fruit flavors. It will become a staple in cancer's well-stocked cupboard. Cancers love to maintain a comfortable home and serve their family after dinner tea. The soothing blend of rose hips, chamomile, rooibos will calm cancer's emotional side, while the cornflowers and marigold petals raise their cheerful spirits. So there's apricot pieces in this tea, so I thought it'd be fun to talk about 9 health and nutritional benefits of apricots. So apricots are stone fruits, also known as Armenian plums. They're round and yellow, and they look like a smaller version of a peach, but share the tartness of purple plums. So first off, they're very, very nutritious. They have vitamin A, C, E, and potassium. They're high in antioxidants. They're high in a group of polyphenol antioxidants called flavonoids, which have been shown to protect against illness, including diabetes and heart disease. They may promote eye health. Apricots boost multiple compounds that are essential for eye health, including vitamin A, E, A, and E. They may boost skin health. Eating apricots may benefit your skin. The main cause of wrinkles and skin damage are environmental factors such as the sun, pollution, and cigarette smoke. And what's more is research indicates a direct link between UV light exposure, sunburns, and your risk of melanoma, a deadly form of skin cancer. And vitamin C and E, which are both found in apricots, can help protect your skin. It may also promote gut health. 1 cup of sliced apricots before provide 3.3 grams of fiber, which is 8% and 13% of daily values for men and women. High in potassium, apricots are high in potassium, a mineral that serves as an electrolyte. In your body, it's responsible for sending nerve signals and regulating muscle contractions and fluid balance. Also, they're very hydrated. Like most fruits, apricots are naturally high in water, which can regulate blood pressure, body temperature, joint health, and heart rate. They may also help protect your liver. In 2 animal studies, rats fed alcohol and apricots had lower levels of liver enzymes and markers of inflammation than rats given alcohol but no apricots. So yeah, that's it. Apricots are good. We like them. All right, moving into some headlines. This is just a fun one. This is from BuzzFeed.com. 19 haunting items inside the real Conjuring, Ed and Lorraine Warren's occult museum. So for those of you who don't know, Ed and Lorraine Warren have been credited with a lot of haunting research and paranormal investigation. And I say credited because a lot of it is not very accurate. However, they do have their own occult museum. So we're going to talk about some fun things they have in that museum. One, they have something called a shadow doll. According to Ed Warren, the doll is capable of visiting you in your dreams to haunt you and even stop your heart. Next, we have a satanic idol found in the woods of Connecticut in the 90s. It is as fragile as it is spooky. Number three, Annabelle. The most famous item inside the museum is the Annabelle doll. For those who don't know, it's actually just a Raggedy Ann doll. It's kept locked away inside the museum. Just don't tap on the glass or open it. Number four, they have a human skull used for black magic, allegedly a real skull used for satanic rituals. They have a dark magic doll. According to Tony Sparrow, son-in-law of the Warrens, this is similar to the ideas of like puppet magic. They said voodoo in this, but I don't know how much BuzzFeed knows about voodoo, and I don't want to disrespect voodoo in this way. Basically, this black magic doll is said to have been a puppet used to target people. Some more alleged haunted dolls. We have a lot of creepy dolls. I'll have a link to this in the podcast description. If you have any desire to look at creepy dolls, I've got the link for you. Next, we have White Lady of Union Cemetery. It looks like a mannequin. It's so creepy. So, spotted in the 1990s, this is a representation of the real deal, but it's still a spooky image that resembles a global belief of a weeping woman or woman in white. Next, they have African fertility dolls. A practice by multiple African ethnic groups, these dolls were for women as a mix of a good luck charm and a test to take care of a doll. Similar to how they take care of a child. Haunted? I don't know, but still a pretty neat tradition. Ooh, creepy. Okay. This is the Witch of Monroe. This is just a, like, what they have here is just a representation of the actual thing, but it's pretty frightening. Hannah Crannah is a local Connecticut legend. And it looks like a very classic witch, like the chin and the hook nose. The warts and like sharp, creepy teeth. It actually looks a lot like Angelica Houston in The Witches. Ooh, they have creepy masks. Oh no. Yeah, so if you want to get in on some creepy masks as well, check out the link. They're really fun. They have a haunted pearl necklace, which was rumored to be haunted. It had to be torn off a woman's neck to save her. Ooh, they have haunted glass eyeballs. Ooh. Anyways, if you want to check out some creepy things in this haunted occult museum, definitely click on the link. There's a lot of nice images for you to look at. All right, witches, I'm gonna throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, June 24th. The full moon moves from the unfurling fires of Sagittarius to the firm ground of Capricorn by noon today. A full moon comes when the sun is opposing the moon, and that's the main energy of the day. There's a big spotlight on our emotions. We feel them welling up within us, and during times of full moon, it's hard to quell our urges. With the sun in Cancer and the moon in Capricorn, we are trying to balance our need to feel nurtured and loved with our need to make our mark in the world with no holds barred. There is a way to reach equilibrium here. We have to carve out time for both. While you are scaling the highest mountains of achievement, make sure you carve out times to sit and do some self-care. While you are spending time nurturing yourself, plan your next moves so that when you're rested, you are ready to go back to your ambitions. As long as you balance those scales, nothing can stop you. Your daily moon mantra is, "The key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Hello, There are a lot of misconceptions about love magic. Many people think love and their mind gutters to romance and sex. Love is more than that. It is love for family, friends, lovers, self, and pets. It is about courage, healing, and confidence. From rituals, charms, recipes, affirmations, and tips, we offer over 100 ways you can bring love into your life. The power of love is alive. Diverse in practice and style, 100 Love Spells is a compendium of love magic brought to you from the various witches and authors of Witch Way magazine. Packed with practical magic for the novice and expert alike, this book offers a bit of magic for all the world's love witches. With these easy-to-master spellcasting tips and tricks, you will learn how to attract love and spells for confidence, glamour, and passion, see your destiny with the power of divination, conjure love potions and edible magic for your heart's content, awaken lust and celebrate your sensuality, understand the ethics of love magic and free will. Whether you are looking for new love, strengthening an existing one, or healing yourself in the process, 100 Love Spells is for those looking to enhance their lives with the potent and powerful magic of love. All right, so we have a question from listener Roma. Roma says, "Hi witches, I hope you're having a great day. I wanted to ask you for advice. Do you know any magical way to become more open and talkative? I'm an introvert and I used to be extremely shy, but nowadays it's just that I don't really feel interested in people in general. So it's really hard for me to open up and talk to them. I find meeting with others rather draining and boring. There are exceptions, of course. Some people are amazing and I love talking to them and listening to them. I've noticed that I'm becoming more and more antisocial and I don't like it. So do you know any spells that could help me get connected with others easily? Any crystal recommendations, herbs? I appreciate any advice." All right. So before I get into advice, let me give you my thought. I consider myself an extroverted introvert. I'm very introverted. I get very tired. I get very exhausted very quickly, especially in social situations. I can get irritable. I'm a homebody. I like to be in my home. When I do hang out with people, I prefer they come to my house. But I do know how to turn it on when I have to be sociable, when I have to interact with people. And I think this just does come from jobs I've had in the past where I've had to, like, I used to have a job where I had to, talk to people about their finances. That's really difficult, you know. It's a very personal, private thing. And I had that job when I was, 20. So I feel like it taught me very quickly how to engage, you know, when you have to. So I definitely understand. I understand wishing you're a bit different. I've had those wishes. I will get so irritated at a group dinner and then hate myself for being so irritated. And yeah, some people, and it's also an energy thing. Some people are really easy to be around and some people just really aren't. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's not necessarily your fault. It's just an energy thing. But I understand where you're coming from. I understand wanting it to be easier, you know? As for, I can't help you with boring. That is your own mental mindset. A really good friend of mine, I think he listens to this podcast sometimes. He told me once that he doesn't listen to people when they talk to him because, unless it's about him, he finds it boring and uninteresting. And I had to tell him, I was like, especially your friends, everything a friend tells you adds to the tapestry of your relationship with them. For example, if my friend is telling me a story about how him and his boyfriend went to a theme park, is that necessarily interesting to me? No. Is it about me? No. However, it tells me more about my friend. It tells me that he went to a theme park, that he enjoyed it, that he and his boyfriend went together, that his boyfriend enjoyed it. It adds to the informational Rolodex, I guess, of that person. And I think that is very valuable. And it's very, in my opinion, it's a good quality to find that important. So that's really a mindset thing. But You do say you find it draining. That I definitely understand. My recommendation for that is tourmaline. I used to wear tourmaline when I was in a really toxic work situation and to just kind of help shield me from everyone's crap. So that could help it, like shielding crystals, maybe smoky quartz, things like that. Tiger's eye can make you feel a bit more confident. But let's see what others have to say. Lilith says, I don't see this as a problem. I barely tolerate people. Maybe you are just getting really, really good at telling which people you want to be around in a shorter amount of time and less inclined to put up with anything that's a waste of time. I found as I got older, I was bothered less and less by the fact that I find other human beings often more intrusive in my life than anything else. If I would suggest anything, maybe it's comfort self-love magic. I have an open eye spell going on right now for over a month, and it's to allow me to see the man which is right for me and to encourage the universe to put him in my path. I keep asking my cards, and they keep saying, just do your thing like you plan. He will be on his way. My spell was pink for love and a candle and fire written to encourage my own open-mindedness and love of self showing out into the world. So the one that is right for me will see it. Sort of like a beacon spell. Be careful. I'm extremely careful about my wording to ensure I'm not a drag netting everything up from the depths. Wanda says, I'm somewhat an extroverted introvert. I am super content to have to have little contact with people. Unfortunately, that tends to be career limiting in many cases. I learned to mask up and play the part of what interaction was needed. I'll never be good at cold calling people, but I become darn good at public speaking and training people in person or remotely. It's still a role for me, but over time it's much easier because I practice so much. Every interaction is a little painful to me because I'd rather not talk with people, but I continue to mask up and act like it's normal to smile and do exchanges of information with people. And no, I'm not autistic, I don't think. I'm just private, she says. Yeah, I feel very, very similar, Wanda. Very similar. It's a lot sometimes. And I get sometimes overstimulated, overwhelmed, and it's not that anyone's doing anything wrong, and it's not even that I'm doing anything wrong. It's just what it is, and we all just do our best to get through it. But there were a few tips sprinkled in there, so I really, really hope that they were helpful for you, Roma. All right, so we have a witch win from listener Elisa. A very small witch win, but hoping it gives me courage for future ones. Sorry if it seems a bit silly. I finally got the courage to tell my boyfriend that I wanted to do something for the full moon, which I haven't really done before. I mention things in passing, but always blow it off and make it seem not important. He immediately said, "We should do a bonfire." So we will have we will be having a barbecue, transplanting my lucky bamboo and having a bonfire. Even if we can't do all the things in our impromptu plans, I'm super happy knowing how supportive he was, and all it took was a little courage to mention something. I wanted to share somewhere. It's not a fancy ritual, but I think it's perfect. All right, so for a little magic today, we're going to talk about moon magic, and this comes from the June 2021 issue of Witch Way magazine, written by Brianne Silver, and it's Moon Water for Every Phase. So moon water has become increasingly popular, especially as a DIY project for new and seasoned witches alike. The appeal is understandable. It is simple to make, incredibly versatile in its uses, and there is something so deliciously magical about working under the light of a full moon. From witch tips, social media posts to public books and even articles in the latest witchy publications, the making of moon water seems to be one of the most heavily discussed and promoted activities in the witching world today. In some cases, however, the scope of this discussion is limited by the association of the moon water solely with the full moon. And I love this because I feel like I say all the time, the full moon is not the be all, you know? We're really forgetting about the other phases. It can be so much more than that. Did you know that water can be infused with energy of any moon phase for its use in your magical workings? Here, I'm going to share with you a comprehensive DIY guide to making moon water during any lunar phase. I'll share a quick how-to for actual creation process and ritual, the energies of the moon waters created during the different phases, and then a few ideas for ways to incorporate these waters into your own magical practice. So, how to make moon water. Please note that this is the author's personal method for creating moon water. There are lots of variations out there, so feel free to make any adjustments that reflect your own practice. One, gather your materials. A glass jar with a non-metal lid, purified water, quartz crystal, pinch of salt. I prefer Himalayan. Cleansing herb of choice, dried in a white candle. Prepare your space as desired. You might choose to cast a circle, do a grounding and centering exercise, or just take a few deep breaths as you become fully present. Make sure your materials are clean in the mundane sense, giving them a quick wash if needed. Light your white candle and use it to ignite your dried herbs, allowing the smoke to energetically cleanse all of your materials. Fill your glass jar with purified water, then add the quartz and salt. Important, be sure your quartz has been thoroughly cleaned if you plan to ingest your moon water, and always check to be sure that your crystal is water safe and non-toxic if you choose a different type. This was a big deal a few years ago. A lot of witchy influencers were sharing very dangerous recipes for crystal water, not realizing that they were instructing their followers to ingest toxic crystals in water. Five, place the jar outside or on a windowsill just after sundown and retrieve it before sunrise the next morning. Six, strain out the crystal, label the jar, and store it in a cool place. The refrigerator works well. Now, lunar phase energies and associations. So the dark moon is great for rest, introspection, intention setting, and protection. Waxing is good for increasing, growing, drawing in, and inviting. Full is good for illumination, power, high energy, and projection. Waning is good for decreasing, banishing, lessering, and minimizing. So uses for moon water. So let's say you decide to do a waning full moon. Waning full moon. I'm such an idiot. Waning moon water. And you're like, okay, cool. It's cool for decreasing, banishing, lessering. But like, now what? So here's how you can use your moon water. Add dark moon water to a ritual bath with the intention to rest and nourish your body. Sip a bit of dark moon water before a meditation session to help you see clearly as you look inward. Use waxing moon water in any spell work designed to help you pull things towards you. For example, making social or business connections, money drawing, inviting good luck, etc. Add full moon water to any magical working, needing an extra burst of power, or to a long-term ritual or spell that you feel has stalled a bit. Place full moon water on your altar as an offering. Anoint your body with the full moon water before performing spells or rituals. Put waning moon water in a spritz bottle and use it as a fragrance-free room spray when you want to clear out stuck energy. Alternatively, you may choose to add some fragrance if you'd like. So these are just a few suggestions to spark your creativity. Use them as a springboard to create your own rituals, utilizing moon water in your personal witchcraft. Remember, the most powerful magical associations are those that are authentic to you. So Brienne Silver is an eclectic witch based in the Pacific Northwest and is the host of the Eclectic Witchery podcast, a proud Cancerian, water and moon heavily influence her individual craft. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Tiffany Linden. Tiffany, you avant-garde fair moth. I also want to give a shout out to listener Sherry. Sherry, you badass, tenacious Loch Ness monster. And then finally, Laura J. Laura, you dapper, esoteric tropical fish. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate you. And before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card of today is Rose Quartz. It's about unconditional, purity, and love. Timing, don't rush it. Yes or no, it is a yes. Contributed by myself. Rose Quartz speaks of honest and pure feelings with no hidden agendas or ill will. Are you being authentic and open? Do you want what's best for everyone, including yourself? This card is a reminder that you need to be a positive and loving force in the world. Love reading. A true, honest, pure love free from ill will. Career reading. No one is out to get you. health reading. You're surrounded by good and honest people who care about your well-being. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find the Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.